How many of you have been to a mountaintop and prayed to God and told God how blessed you are and how wonderful the life that you have before you? Brother Vidal took a little bit of my glory, but I will talk about his picture. It's amazing. I'm in Chicago, Illinois, and then I drove to Wisconsin, and y'all had more snow coming down here than I did up there. It was quite amazing to see. It was a blessing, but I will tell you, 5-degree wind chill is a little bit cooler than what it was here. So you have to balance it out. It's wonderful to see all of you here today. It's a blessing to me to be able to stand before you and lead the message. But it's a bigger blessing to me to know today our children are going to be presenting their Christmas message for you at the end of the service. And it's just wonderful when children become engaged in God's kingdom. And that's the subject of today's message. A young child came. The child came to be a part of the world because his father ordained it. His father told him that he would be the example that would save his world, his only begotten son. In today's message, if you'll open your Bibles up to Philippians, we're going to be studying in the series that was started last Sunday. We're going to be studying about a birth, a wonderful, wonderful, inspired birth that many people likes to try to challenge. Christmas has become too commercialized. Christmas starts in July in a lot of places I visit. I mean, there's Christmas decorations up even in South Texas that I've seen by September. Christmas is not to be commercialized, but we've commercialized it because it's about money. And it's not today's message. It's about love. Christmas is about love. Christmas is about family. And above all of those things, the holy birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you open your Bible up, I want you to get to chapter 2. We're going to be studying verses 6 and 8 today in the sermon. But as you flip there, bow your head, I'm going to open us with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to you thankful for this season. We thank you for the season of Thanksgiving that we just finished and the journey into the Christmas season, the birth of your Son. We pray that you'll continue to bless and guide our lives as we take this journey with you. All the opportunities that come our way is because of you. All the opportunities that we have in our journey is because of the message that you want us to place in front of others. As I look out over this congregation, I thank you for the ones that are here to hear this message. I thank you for the young ones that will be performing. I thank you for the middle age and the older ones that came to hear the inspired word of God and the message of the Holy Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll continue to guide us and bless us through this season. I can pray that you'll continue to be the one that gives us the wisdom to keep you in the rightful place on your throne. Bless us as we look at Christmas. Bless us as we look at the birth that you sent to live the human life, to walk as man on this earth and give us the examples for us to follow. Bless us now as we search our hearts. Bless us as we open our eyes and look at the message that you have today, because we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you came into our church today, you did not see the snow, but if you had been here Friday morning, you would have seen the snow that Brother Vidal posted. But you've seen beautiful sunlight and the gloriousness of what's happening here in First Baptist Church Afar. We have construction going on, and we're still able to meet in God's house during this time of construction. We have opportunities. Today we had the fire department here because we had two alarms go off. And everybody says, why do they come? And the fire department says the answer before we can even respond to it, because you turned your furnace on. So I'm assuming you've turned your furnace on at home. Some of you may be tough enough, you don't need the heat. But if you turned your furnace on, you had a different smell in your house. I hope you took the time to smell the difference of your life. And it's a perfect example of the message of Christmas. The symbology that we will be studying today, I chose the title to make sure the symbology matches what we have. And the symbology that I chose today is called Earthly Servant. A lot of people see the word servant as a negative word. People see the word servant as a word that is not in the highest connotation that they want it to be. But I, for one, see servant as a joy, a blessing, and a wonderful opportunity for us to be the child that God wants us to be. We have to be a servant. Most of you know I care for older people a whole lot. I get a lot of respect from older people. And because of that, I am driven to always try to be better. And I get asked, aren't you always concerned that they're going to want you to do too much? I said, no, I can never do enough. I can never do enough. Because that's in my soul, it's in my heart. I used to do the youth, and I had the same drive and the same motivation. And you can say I don't today, but I do. For children, I get so excited. This afternoon after church, we get to see our great-grandson do his Christmas program for his school. Surprises me that it's on a Sunday, but it's on a Sunday and I will be there. It's just a wonderful blessing to see what this season does to bring everyone together. It's not about the gift. You've already got the gift. It's about recognition of the gift. Because most of us get too hung up, too carried away with today's modern culture. Today's modern culture is dog-eat-dog world. Always get to the next level in a hurry. That's why people puts up Christmas decorations early. I hear people complain about it, but let me tell you something. Being a business person, they would not put that stuff up if it didn't bring people to spend money. It's what the game is. We should be that way about God. We should be that way about His Son, Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about. So look at verse number 6. And it starts off with a simple, simple word. And it says, who, being in very nature. I just love the point of how Scripture sets you up for the next part of a verse. When Paul wrote this, Timothy was with him, and they were in Philippi sharing the great news of Jesus Christ. And they were describing in very detail of how their Savior, Jesus Christ, had led them to bring this inspired message because His Father had ordained the plan. He had created the plan. Jesus was with him when the plan was created. The Holy Spirit was with him when the plan was created. But the plan had to be done. Could you imagine coming into this church and us starting a project and never finishing it? How long would it take you before you became frustrated? How long would it take you before you became very, very irritated? It's just the way we are as people. But look at it in a different manner. Look at our children. Our children were so inspired, they were invited to do a musical. And I will guarantee you, it took more work for the parents to get them here, the leaders to lead them and teach them, than for the excitement that these children brings to this presentation, because they are inspired to go do it. They're inspired to be motivated. And in verse 6 it says, the nature of God. Not just the nature, but the very nature of God. But then it continues and it says, do not consider equality with God. Some of us may think that we're the best that we could ever be. Some of us may believe that we're always going to be better than other people. But I got a little secret for you. Listen very closely. You will never be better than God. You can strive, you can work at it. And you know what? God has invited you to do that. He has invited you to constantly get better. I've had mentors in my life that I aspire to be somewhere on the same page with them. I know I will never get there, but it doesn't stop me from trying and working hard to get there. But then the last part of verse 6, it says, something to be used to His own advantage. God created you for a reason. God created you for the universal plan that He placed you here on earth to do. You can listen to wonderful messages at Christmas time during the songs. Go tell the great news of Jesus Christ. Where? On the mountaintops, in the valleys, by the river. It doesn't matter where you tell the great news. Go and tell the great news. Joe can sing these songs so smoothly. We have musicians that play the songs so eloquently. And then we have people like me that just likes to make a joyful noise. I like to hear music. I love the name of the songs. Go tell the good news. The Holy Manger. Away in the manger. And you're going to hear a song later today that I like. You can go on the internet and there's 17 varieties of the same song. And all they do is change the imagery in the background. Because it's such a wonderful message that God wants His people to know. And that is, He is using things for His own advantage. God sent His Son, His one and only begotten Son, for the sole principle to demonstrate for each and every one of us how to live the life that He wants you and me to live. How we live that life is not a reflecting upon a moment of time, but it's a body of work. It's how we develop ourselves to be inspired to do the work that God wants us to do. And here at Christmas time, look at the vessels that God created to bring His Son into this world for us to have the living earthly example to follow. And in verse 7, it starts by saying, rather, He made Himself nothing. He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Of a servant. You can say, well, how, why, what's the logic? It doesn't matter. Scripture is so clear that Jesus was sent to be here. To be the living and shining example of your life, of my life. Most of us learn by seeing. Most of us learn by being able to interact with someone to make us remember. I, for one, I take these little things called fingers and hands. If I use them, I remember. I love to read. I can take a book and I can read the book and I might remember 10% of it. But you know what? I don't get rid of my books. I keep my books and I go back and read them. I probably have more Bibles in my house than a sane person would have, but I have a lot of old Bibles. I have Bibles I don't allow people to touch. I have Bibles that are there for very unique, special reasons. But you know what? Every one of them served the purpose when I received the Bible. It served the purpose. It gave the understanding of God's Word. But if you look at earthly servants, what do you hear and what do you understand is a derivative of where you are in your journey. Your journey. If you're on a journey, you go and you get in your car, you buckle your seatbelt, you get ready to leave and you forget to crank it, how far do you go? Not very far. Can you remember the day that you would get in your car and go somewhere without having Google Maps on your phone telling you where to go. Can you remember the days you got in your car and you didn't have a console in your car that had a map that pointed you in the right direction to go? I bet most of you, or some of you probably would say, I remember, and they used to say, go down that old wooden tree that's fixing to die and then turn left. And you still got there. You were still able to find where you were going. The Bible is that map for you. It's always available for you to turn on if you need it. And how do you turn the Bible on? You open it up. If you open up this inspired Word of God, you will open it to the page that God wants you to be. And as you go to Sunday school and your Sunday school teacher has prepared to teach a lesson to you, you always need to open God's Word. You always need to read from God's Word. Because God is inspiring you to be in His Word because you are with Him. And when He sent His Son here through Mary, He wanted you to have the shining example of how to live your life and to take the journey that He had bestowed for you. For you. Your life may not be anything like someone else's life, and that's a good thing. Your life may not be the way you want it to be. And I'm here to tell you that's probably a better thing than you realize. But I can also tell you, every experience that you have is for a reason. Every experience that you have will motivate you for the future to be a better person. Every experience you have is a point to teach someone else, to learn something yourself, and to be motivated by it. I have people in my life that has came to me and they went, you know, if people only knew my story, they would understand what God can do for a lost person. And I always smile and I get excited. I say, that's great, tell somebody. Go to a mountaintop and tell somebody. Explain to somebody your journey and how you got here. Some of you may remember some of the old Christian books that were written. One of the best ones that I ever remember was called Cross and the Switchblade. It was a wonderful message, and it was about a young man that had been in so much trouble in his lifetime. He prayed to God one time during the Christmas season, why do you not help me in my life? And as the story goes on, it comes to a point, Jesus had always been there. God had always been there. And the message is why was I not able to open my eyes and see it? So he gets hurt and he runs into a nurse. And the nurse is who God had prepared to change this person's life. And as she was working on him, she made one simple truth. And the simple truth is, you know God loves you. You know God loves you. And as we look at this and we look at verse 7, you will see that taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Think about that. You're not a servant. You're not a slave. But how many of us chooses to think and act like we are? He sent His Son to die for you. He sent His Son to die for you where you would have eternal salvation by simply accepting and trusting in Him. You would have the opportunity to be the child that your Father God wants you to be. And you would have the example that Jesus Christ Himself lived on this earth that we walk to be that special person. Many people will tell you, you know, Scripture is confusing And Scripture doesn't make me really get a strong grasp of it. So I wrote a note here, and I want you to look at what Christmas is if you look at it from a Christian standpoint of God. It's all about not getting the abundance of what you have. It's about God already giving you the abundance of the gift that you needed when He sent His Son. Look at the young lady that carried this child. She was a young teenager. She did not understand why. And the angels explained. Look at this father that had already asked the woman. They were betrothed in marriage, but they were not married. To find out the story the way that he did. And it broke his heart until the angels spoke to him. Look at the innkeeper that had nowhere to let Mary and Joseph stay. But you know what? He did have something. God had prepared a stable. And the stable that he had prepared was really a cave in a wall. And as you approach the scene and the symbology of it, a young child brought into this world with only the mother and father and a few guests. And the guests were animals. The guests were animals. What lowly type of birth God had prepared and ordained for His children. His Son, Jesus. Just a perfect message. You don't have to get gifts under the tree to make you happy. But you have to get something that lights your soul and your spirit. Because it's love that we all seek. It's love that we all need. And look at verse 8. And it starts with a conjecture here and it goes, And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. He became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. Obedience. Cross. Death. Think about the words. And at this Christmas time, as you gather with your loved ones, as you gather with your family, think about the simplistic nature of what God is asking us to do. He gave us all the tools. He sent His Son. He'd already provided the inspired Word of God. He sent the Holy Spirit when Jesus left. He gave us the tools to know what life is all about. Ben's going to start a song, the song I've been telling you about. And as he plays the song, I'm going to over-talk the song. But the music will be there, the words will be there. Listen to both of us. But I want you to consider as the song starts, the message that God has for you and the message that God has in the life for you and for me is a simple message. It's love. It's love. God sent His Son to be loved by the world. Not to make everybody love Him, but to be loved. He sent it to a lovely woman. He sent it to an adoring father. Joseph is what the song's about. And as Joseph says in the song, I'm not your father, you're my father. It's a perfect symbolism for a message like this. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are always among us. Just like angels. Just like the joy that we should have. But we have to open our eyes to see it. Little children in amazement. They can't sleep at night. And when they wake on Christmas morning, the first thing they want to do in their life is get to that Christmas tree and see what Saint Nick has brought them. Saint Nick is a special person, but he's not God. Saint Nick is a person that brings miracles, but he's not Jesus. Saint Nick is always watching. He's taking a list. He's checking it twice, but he's not the Holy Spirit. He's available for you. God sent his son, Jesus, to live that perfect life. If you look at a few points of the message and of the song that's playing, point one is a teenage mother. We tell people teenage mothers don't stand a chance, but we know one that did. Look at the father, a carpenter, a man that worked with his hands, not considered of the highest class, but he did good for his son. He were able in his mind to create him a cradle out of a feed trough because he knew wood. He was a carpenter. They were meek parents. They were embarrassed. They were excited. And they were filled with joy. But a lot of people didn't understand them. The lonely manger. In the weather, late night, surrounded by animals, our Savior was brought into this world. Our Savior was here to lead us by example. And he did. And then one of my favorites, it says, with the animals, God had already ordained that man name. Adam named all animals. So the animals that were there in the manger when Jesus was born were named by man. They were there for a reason. The little sheep, the symbology. Imagine the story. And as the song starts to wrap up, think about this. Angels stated God had blessed the parents. Angels visited the parents and told the parents, do not fear. So God is with you. Do not fear. That's where we walk our lives today. We need to be on our knees praying to God that we do not fear our life because God is with us. And God will always protect us. God knew his son would demonstrate love of humankind. That's why he challenges each of us to be Christ-like. That's why he inspires us to be more like Jesus every day. But he also allows you the choice to do that. And then wrapping up, it says, through the human birth, God's plan was brought to earth. God had the plan to bring his child to earth. And as these children come forward to do their presentation for you, imagine the plan that God has for their life. Imagine the inspiration that these children will be in their parents' life, their grandparents' life, and above all of our lives. Because God has given them special, specific talents. And I pray that as we go into this point, this period of time, we will remember in our mind the altar is always open and God is always available to bless you. Because like the title says, we are not earthly servants. God sent his son, Jesus, to be the earthly servant. We're the ones filled with the gratitude and fortitude of what God has given us. The children will come, bow your head as they prepare. I'm going to say a blessing.